you know, once black people find out that you're a black owner, or either they know you or your people know you, we tend to come in and like, well, I know Will, or I also go by Shantez, my DJ name Tez or whatever. Say, but y'all know Tez. And I'm like, we can't survive like that because people want to come in and ask for discounts. Well, I know him. Like, well, bro, or sis, like, you got bills you got to pay. You got a mortgage, rent, whatever you pay. Like, you don't ask for no, you, they ain't going to give you no discounts for that. You know what I'm saying? It's about staying alive.
Welcome to Expressive Espresso.
Today is about the power of you.
Anytime I'm scared of something, I feel impelled to attack it.
Expressive Espresso is the coffee shop for leaders like you.
If you don't fail, you're not even trying.
Expand your knowledge about personal development.
Anything that starts with, I don't want to work, is already a problem.
Entrepreneurship.
Invest in things that you understand.
And leadership.
You will change the world.
This is Expressive Espresso with Alexis DeAngicoli.
Thank you for tuning in. This is your host, Alexis DeAngicoli, and this is Expressive Espresso. I am actually on set with the owner of the Elm Street Lounge. And just in case you don't know, I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina, and the Elm Street Lounge is giving me that Harlem vibe, that lounge type of vibe where you can chill with your partner, your lover, and you can listen to great music, or you can come on a Thursday and you can come to open poetry. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to William Galloway. Thank you so much for doing this interview. So the first question on my mind is a lounge in Greensboro, North Carolina, which is like the, I want to say Charlotte Jr., but you helped me on that. And why did you decide to open a lounge?
Greensboro is really, honestly, always been better than Charlotte. But we got behind the times. So with Charlotte, it was more of the older people that had these buildings. They invested into their buildings, and Charlotte took off, and it gave an opportunity for other entrepreneurs to come in. But Greensboro finally caught on to the concept. So Greensboro's finally starting to catch up to where Greensboro used to be an A market, but we dropped down to like a B or C market. And Charlotte's an A market. So that's why you see a lot of artists don't never come through here like that no more. They'd rather go to Charlotte or either go to Raleigh. But Greensboro's on the up and up. They're coming back. It's getting better. And I've seen a lot of progress the past 3-4 years since they really started doing stuff, creating different organizations from downtown Greensboro or even the Chamber of Commerce. You know, it used to be pretty much majority white. But now it's more diverse, or either a lot of the students that went to school here, whether it's UNCG, A&T, they graduated and they stayed here, and they was from different or bigger cities. And so they brought their concepts here, which you already knew. So that's what has really, I feel like, has brought a lot of progress to Greensboro, to where now you starting to get more stuff to do. You're getting more local stuff, more bigger concepts on a local level, but they still big. And I guess what you also asked me too, why did I get into it? Just for the love of music, entrepreneurship, and just being around the right people, you know, great parents or just great mentors that just came around and just showed me the way. Actually, I just want to provide a space just really for people just to come and enjoy themselves. We all work hard, so I try to make sure everything's easy on the pockets as much as I can. And just want people to just come in and enjoy themselves and experience something different on a higher level compared to what Greensboro has offered over the years.
I really didn't know about the history that much, so thank you for explaining that. So how long do you think it would take for Greensboro to become an A market again?
I'll say I give it about another 2 years. They're building the Tanger Center right up the street from me, so that's going to bring those Broadway shows. So we're getting all the Broadway shows here. So that's going to help also change the market as well. I'd say about 2 years, and then they build the Westin. They're supposed to be building the Westin next door to me, too, where the old Church Hills used to be downtown. Just to be honest, like, it's really the council people, City of Greensboro, that's kind of holding up a lot of that stuff with the progress of the Westin. Just old school ways, or some of the older folks is kind of holding stuff back. So that's why it really hadn't been built. You know, you look behind the building, they got the parking there they was supposed to be building already, and they haven't been built yet. Everybody just, you know, put aside everything and just let progress happen. I give it about 2 years. It might be sooner. And then sometimes just outside of there, it takes people just willing to invest in bringing those big artists here. You know, I got Cone Denim next to me. Cone Denim is the they tied in with the House of Blues. Yeah, the House of Blues, the little restaurants, concerts. I don't know too much about it, but I've been to one. But they right here next door to me. So they bring like artists here. You know, they brought Layla Hathaway. Was it? No, Ledisi last year. They brought Martha Ambrosius the year before that. So they bring these artists here. They only can fit like 1,000 people. But you might pay a little more for the ticket for the intimacy. But you got small places like this that could bring bigger artists. Oh, you even got the Coliseum. It's really people willing to invest in doing it. You know, instead of doing it once a year during A&T's homecoming, Jiho, or, you know, summertime. Like, and it's really only 2 or 3 promoters that actually bring those artists here to the Coliseum or even over here. So I guess because Greensboro's kind of been, I guess we stuck in that mindset. We like I was telling you earlier, like, were you scared to take a chance on something? And really, if you just take that chance, you're going to see progress just by you taking that one shot. Bringing an artist here, a live band, or whoever it may be, like, you'll start a trickle effect real quick. Outside of like what I really want to do, if other people were to really get involved or just come together, whether they're black, white, or whatever, like, okay, we want to come together and bring an artist here who we love, or put up for like a festival or something. You just take that shot, like, it starts a trickle effect to everything, because it brings money to the city of Greensboro, the economy. I mean, it's a trickle effect. Same thing happened in Charlotte or Raleigh, or either we can step up as a people, no matter what your race is, like, yo, we're tired, or like, yo, it's time to do something. There was time to bring the people that we want here.
That's a great answer. And while you were saying that, I was just thinking about taking a chance. And what exactly does taking a chance look like to you? So I'll say, for example, when you were saying the mindset of some of the older people in council or whatnot, I was having a conversation with my mother and my grandmother. Sorry, I'm telling this. But so I have a different view on voter issues. And just to make it plain, I feel like if the candidate that we're supposed to vote for is not speaking and making actionable steps for black people about reparations, I'm not voting for them. So I was ganked up on, and that's fine. But, you know, that's just that mindset, and where they don't want to change. They don't want to see that. So I guess that's 2 questions. So one, what does, you know, taking a chance look like to you, and how do you deal with the older mindset of council, or even as far as your concept of the lounge?
Taking a chance is really putting yourself out there. That's one thing I really debated about when it came to me putting myself out there as the owner of the lounge, because, you know, just being honest, you know, once black people find out that you're a black owner, or either they know you or your people know you, we tend to come in and like, well, I know Will, or I also go by Shantez, my DJ name Tez or whatever. Say, but y'all know Tez. And I'm like, we can't survive like that, because people want to come in and ask for discounts. Well, I know him. Like, well, bro, or sis, like, you got bills you got to pay. You got a mortgage, rent, whatever you pay. Like, you don't ask for no, they ain't going to give you no discounts for that. You know what I'm saying? It's about staying alive and progress. That's part of that risk that you take, because you got people that feel like, well, they might come in your lounge and be like, well, oh, Tez didn't give me no deal. I'm not supposed to give you no discount. I mean, Will didn't give me no discount. No, because, well, I got a business to run. It's just being honest and straightforward. Those listening out there, please don't do that to your people. Like, they got a product. Like, pay for the product, because you'll pay anywhere else, any shopping place or whatever. Like, pay for the product, because that product could be something special, and every dollar means a lot. The other risk is, you know, with me personally, like, just credit, too. So I took a chance with investing a lot of my own money. You know, I took a chance with family time, about to get married. So it's a lot of stuff that happens you have to take a risk on. You might lose some people. You might lose some friends or anything. You lose that time to where you was dedicating so much to other people. But not to be selfish, but you have to really focus on you. And if you focus on what you have to do, no matter if those people really care for you like that, they're going to stick around. You know, putting yourself out there, like, some people just going to be jealous. They're going to, if you did anything, or people can run with what they want to run with, have their own feelings about what you did to them. Or if you really did anything to them, like, you know, people going to bash your name if you bring yourself out there. And, you know, I'm a church guy. So, you know, I feel like, you know, I take it back to where, like, yo, Jesus is doing great things. and they still bashed him anyways. So it's going to happen to the best of us. So that's one thing I had to learn. You know, you're putting yourself out there, you're risking your, not risking your life, but your private business, or just putting yourself out there in general. One thing I can say with me coming up, I grew up around a lot of older people, and I learned how to deal with them on a certain level too. It's like almost like a partnership kind of type thing. Like, okay, I hear what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. But when you come with a bigger idea or a new idea or something, you have to really show them proof of how it works. You know, not just on paper, you have to have done it before, like in the process of doing it, to where you can show them, okay, well, I see how this is working now. Man, that's just my own personal way. You know, they've been there, done it. They've seen it before. So they base their decision-making off what they've seen already or what they've experienced. So if somebody else come in new, like, well, okay, I see what you're doing, but, well, maybe this might not be it, or this might not be the time for it. But, like, no, I got proof. I can show you right here. No, it actually works. So that's how I figured out the best way to deal with the older generation. You know what I'm saying? Because they're already going to, not saying that they're cocky, but they seasoned. They already been through it. They done it. But if you can show them on paper, like, how it's actually working and benefiting you personally, or just the city, or Howard's way, you know, as long as it's benefiting, it's growing, it's making progress, they tend to change their mind about it, especially in that place of position or power, like even with the council or whatever. Now, we do got some younger council members on there, but numbers mean everything. And even with numbers, when it comes to voting, you know, you got these older council people in here that really need to go. Not all of them, but, you know, some of them has transitioned with the time, but some of them have not. So that's why elections are very important, not just your national election, but the local elections are way more important than the national election from the presidency. Like your local county stuff, all that stuff matters, because it starts off small and it trickles down to big, even going to the state of North Carolina, or even to, you know, in Washington, D.C. So please keep that in mind. Vote, no matter how big or small it is. It really matters more than what you think.
That was definitely a good point. And with the Elm Street Lounge being a, I don't want to say a new concept, because people in different cities have seen something like this, but it is a new concept in Greensboro. And so how successful have you been thus far? When did you actually begin this? And where do you see yourself in about 5 years?
Well, I took over the building in April. I've been working on it since July, or until July. And I finally opened on July 13th. But it was like a soft open, but it really wasn't a soft open. So I was thankful for that. We're really ahead of the game. I'm blessed to have great staff, great servers, and just knowing like the right people or the right bands. And I'm a big market social media type person, so I'm like very into it. So I've seen everything I've done putting in with that, like just bring people here, and then just word of mouth, the talent I bring here, all that. So like, yeah, they're doing, yeah, people have done this stuff in New York, different cities or whatever. But, like, yeah, it was time for Greensboro to have its own legit space, to where, you know, I'm big on production. So you look in here, you come down here, you say, I got the stage lights, I got a digital board, one of the newer model stuff for, like, bigger shows, bringing big artists. I mean, everything is in place. So, like, I asked for production. So you don't go into these other places, you don't see that, especially downtown Greensboro. Even go to a bigger city, you know, normally bands have to bring their own stuff. And I want to make sure it was convenient. And, like, even with my vision for this place, I wanted to have a small concert venue feel. But you still get everything on the local level. So, 5 years, I plan on having this building owned. And some people has came to me that I really think a lot about. Like, well, like, Tez or Will, like, you blow it up. Like, you want to expand or whatever? I'm like, no, I really don't want to. I could if it all works out. But I'm that type of person, like, where you just nourish that baby and just watch it grow. And you keep it in that one area, you'll have people coming from everywhere to come see you. It's like, what was that movie with Kevin Costner in it? Field of Dreams, I believe it was. Like, you build it, they will come. Don't matter how far it is, you know, they'll come. They'll get the word, and they'll start coming in, like, from anywhere. Just staying here, like, yeah, I could take it somewhere else, but I really just want to stay here. Because Greensboro has like so much potential to just like take off and grow. So I really just probably just keep it here and
just build something great, continue to build. Keep it small, keep it intimate, and just make it more of a desire, need, or want to be here in the Elm Street Lounge.
Tell me about the challenges that you may have with the lounge.
Well, it's not that many challenges. Like I said, I've been blessed to have great staff. That was one of the biggest things that really mattered to me. Make sure I had great staff here, whether it's from the bartender to the server to the bar back. I wanted to make sure I had the best staff here that could provide great customer service. That's number one. The bartenders make great drinks and still provide great customer service. Servers that are knowledgeable about the menu and just customer service, and the bar back that just, you know, same thing, provide customer service or make sure the bartender's straight. Everybody's focused and not missing a beat. So I've been very blessed, and that's what really has put me ahead of the schedule, just having great staff here that knows the industry, that knows the drink menu, that knows the liquors, that knows pretty much everything, you know, from shop pours to whatever, just knowing the handhelds. We have handhelds here, so you don't see a lot of places that have handhelds. So the handhelds I have is from Toast. So based on my servers, it helps provide quicker service to the customers for them. Instead of like old school, you know, you see, you go to a restaurant or wherever, they writing them down compared to where, okay, they can put the order in on the handheld and it shoots back here to the bartender. And then it gives them a chance basically to move around to the next person. So they can knock out 3-4 tables or a group of 3-4 groups of people within a matter of like 5 minutes, get the orders in here, and then they just come back and get them, and then they just go back out. So it gives them time to mingle with the customers, you know, be more efficient, and then it helps boost their tips up too. I'm surprised, like, you go to these bigger restaurants, like, they don't have, have that system, like Applebee's or, you know, TGI. Well, some of them, they got the little table menus, but you go to other bigger places, like, I'm like, yo, why ain't they got this system, or some kind of system to where the servers got handhelds? Everything has to literally be typed in. Compared to where I got these handhelds, everything's efficient. Like, nobody misses nothing.
Before I ask you, like, what do you offer on a typical night or weekday, including the weekend? This is for the entrepreneurs who are listening to Espressive Espresso. In the future, you want to get major artists. So let's go down to the calculations. Like, what would that be? And how much do you think you may be able to make for a typical artist, even with a cone denim next to you, stuff like that?
Well, since you brought up cone denim, we're going to talk about this real quick. So with cone denim being next door to me, I actually been talking to them about bringing a bigger artist there. And then we can have like an after party here at the same time. So that could help me out a lot to where I can make those numbers while I'm, you know, I was telling you about early. But to bring an artist here, like, it would probably, like, a decent artist, like a Raheem Devon or a Music Soul Child, it might run between 10 and 12 grand. What I would do is I would charge a ticket between 50 and 75 because of my occupancy, if I were to have it here. Now, if I were to have it next door, they have a bigger occupancy of 1,000 people. I could do $30 to $40 a ticket. And then they got the little VIP sections that sits over the stage there too. So they might be a little bit more, maybe 80. The vision is to really bring those artists here. And yeah, it might cost me a little bit, but to create that intimacy to where that somebody can see one of their favorite artists live and be up close and personal. And I think people will really pay for that. And there's really nowhere you can get that at around here. Not even in Charlotte, really, or Raleigh. Like, you have to go to New York. You find a bunch of little small jazz bars there, or music lounges that, okay, you might see a certain person pop up on a certain night. Don't even know they're coming. Or they might know they're coming, but they won't let you know. You know what I'm saying? And you get that intimacy with them. So that's really one of the main vibes I really want to bring here, because there's nowhere that has that place to where it's actual music venue, cocktail bar. You can chill and possibly see your favorite artist on any given night. Or either they might just pop up here one night. You know what I'm saying? So
the second question, which was, what do you offer throughout the week?
Pretty much during the week, I offer on Thursdays. It's an open mic. So I'm inviting all, any type of poet, spoken word artists, indie artists. I don't care if you do country, whatever. You know, as long as you ain't doing no crazy satanic stuff, no hard rock, like, you pretty much good. Pop music, whatever. Like, you're welcome to come. Hip hop artists, the only thing I don't want is trap music. If you're a hip hop artist, I'd rather for you to come with that. not mimicking their styles, but like a JC type flow or a J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, like actually talking about something that means something. Don't come over with no trap music because you would not get on the stage. Just being honest, that's what we offer on Thursday nights. And then after that, I bring in DJ Deron Juan from 102 Jams, and he'll come in and DJ on Thursday nights after the open mic. So I'm trying to keep, like, give Greensboro something to do even on a Thursday. Friday nights, I'm going to have mostly jazz bands that come through. Sometimes neo-soul artists on some chill stuff on Fridays. Then on Saturdays, I really want those to be, like, my party band nights. Or it can still be on some chill, depending on who it is, the people I want to bring in, their availability and all that stuff. So you're going to get a little bit of open mic on Thursdays, Friday night jazz pretty much, and Saturday nights, those will be my party bands. But everything is pretty much going to be based around R&B, neo-soul, indie music, and reggae too.
Where can everybody find you? Your social media, anything like that, your website, where can people find you?
Right now, I just have social media. Real quick, I just noticed social media works better compared to websites nowadays. To me, it does anyways. So, but on social media, you can find us at Elm Street Lounge, Elm Street, E-L-M, Street, S-T-R-E-E-T, Lounge. Street is always spelled out. So Elm Street Lounge, you can follow us on Instagram at Elm Street Lounge, same way I said it. So, yeah, follow us, check us out, come support us. We would love to have you. And just come help us bring something new to Greensboro.